Good morning. So Brad's had quite the week this week. You know that, right? Everybody that came in said congratulations, Brad, because something happened this last week. Got engaged. All right. But not only that, he also accepted a pastoral position in Jackson at Encounter Church. So we want to celebrate that. Anyway, I had the privilege of having Brad come through Board of Ministerial Development, so I got to see him quite a few times, and hopefully was an encouragement to him. But we're going to talk about crop harvest or crop check. What is your harvest? And I want to pass or have Brad pass out some grapes. So take a grape. Thanks, Brad had asked me if he could help. I didn't tell him how he was going to help, but thank you for doing that. You'll find out what that's about a little bit later. I do want you to be in prayer for Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott Bills had a heart episode. I don't know if Sean knew that or not this last week, but he had a heart episode and passed out on Thursday night, I think it was, and had a pacemaker put in Friday about 1 o'clock. So he sent his wife contacted me, Lane contacted me, and said, you probably should know, Pastor Scott and I are good friends, and so we talk every week, usually video chat every week. And anyway, he's been having some difficulty with low blood pressure's been crazy, and his heart rate's been like 36, 38, pretty low, and so he's passed out a few times. But anyway, he is home, was home Saturday, and so he's looking for improvement and having more of a consistent heart rate and all that sort of thing. So be in prayer for Pastor Scott. Anyway, we want to talk about harvest. This is the end of the year as we talk about this particular time, and we discover that as we close from 2024 and go into 25, we do kind of a review of where we have been and where we're headed. We think about those kind of things. Some people make New Year's resolutions, right? Have you been thinking about those right now? Some people like making New Year's resolutions for their spouse, right, or family members. But anyway, that's probably not an encouraging. Most people don't keep their New Year's resolutions anyway. It's best to be constant in your faith and your trust in God and be obedient to God all through your life. And so that our life, yeah, we do need to make some resolutions probably, but most of all, we need to have a resolution about how we are faithful to God. I want us to think about Hosea this morning. From Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 is this message. It says, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Cultivate the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. It's New Living Testament. And so we discover that in our heart, in our life, there is this harvesting that takes place. In our life, we harvest what we sow, and we'll be sharing about that this morning. And I know we don't, when we look around us, although we talked about there's very little snow right now, but we don't think about harvest today. Unless you're a hunter, right? If you're a hunter, anybody that likes hunting, they think about harvesting. And then as I thought about that, sometimes there are people that are fur harvesters. I don't know if anybody's a trapper, does that kind of thing. When I was in pastoring in Hart, one of our members trapped, and we talked about the furs that he collected and all those kind of things. But unless you're in that particular season, we realize that the harvest probably had taken place already. The ministry of the church includes a harvest of investment in others. People who come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior, people who are growing in their spiritual journey. It is sowing and reaping. It's the benefits of fruitful ministry. Dighton Wesleyan Church needs to be about fruitful ministry. As we think about the past, in 2024, and even before that, and as we think about the future, we realize that we are a part of harvesting. People coming to know Christ, people growing in Christ, and people telling the good news. Thanks. Thank you, Brad. The words sowing and reaping are used 66 times in the Bible. 66 times. And any time we find words that are used over and over, probably should take notice about what does that mean? How does it apply to us? We realize that it is a conditional statement, what Hosea said. It says, the harvest of love can only take place if seeds of righteousness are planted. Conditional. It can only take place if seeds of righteousness are planted. You and I, about what God wants to take place in our lives, as we have a new pastor coming and as we continue to pray for previous pastors, we realize that the righteousness must be planted. There must be seeds of planting. For about 20 years, Denise and I have taken the last 2 weeks of December and gone to Florida. There was a couple of hurricanes that happened where we go on Treasure Island, and the place that we stay, the Sand Pebble, is not the same kind of place. My sister visited there last night and sent us pictures, and anyway, it was damaged quite a bit from the hurricane. So, we're not going this particular year, and so we're enjoying the nice weather of Christmas season here. Enjoyed the snow, although we usually enjoy the white sand versus the white snow. But anyway, so we realized that when you go into, how many of you remember when you go into Florida and you cross the line, if you haven't flown, you drove in, and it talks about welcome to Florida, and then they talk about crop check, right? They want to know, some of you don't know that, but that they do that. Same thing in Arizona. They want to know what fruit you have and what fruit, those kind of things. That's kind of a crop check about coming and going into those particular lands because they don't want a variety of things coming in to their particular area. And stop and be checked. And that's what they used to do even more in the past. But when we end a season, when we think about going from 2024 to 2025, there seems to be a sense of a crop check that we can take in our life. And so let's look at some things at the end of a season, a harvest, and a crop check. First, you cannot harvest what has not been planted. You cannot harvest what has not been planted. It seems like a simple statement and realization. You cannot harvest what you haven't planted. The message that we find in the scriptures is that there must be planting. You and I must be about the business as servants of God, people who are devoted followers of Christ, about sowing the good seed. In Galatians, that's the message that Paul writes here. It says, don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. If he sows for his own lower nature, his harvest will be the decay and death of his own nature. But if he sows for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life by that Spirit. Let us not grow tired of... You see that? Let us not grow tired of doing good. For unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Let us then do good to all men, all people, as opportunity offers, especially to those who belong to the Christian household. Now, this isn't in my notes, but I want you to know that there are times that while we're doing things, that things don't always go the way that we expect them to. We realize that, right? Because sometimes we're driving along and we follow somebody or somebody pulls in front of us or does something kind of crazy, and there's a couple of ways we can respond, right? I don't know if I've told this story here, but... several years while I was district superintendent, we would travel from Fremont over to the east side to Midland. And we would go the back way through Canadian Lakes, and then we'd connect onto 20 and go to Remus. And one particular Sunday morning, we're on our way to the east side, And this pickup truck, this old pickup truck, comes around the curve, and I pull behind it. And I wish Denise was here, because I know some of you like to see her anyway. She would affirm that I wasn't tailgating, and I wasn't trying to cause trouble. But anyway, so I pulled in behind this truck, and all of a sudden, he slowed way down, and then he sped up. And he slowed down, and if you know where 20 is, it comes up on the hill, and there's a Catholic church and school that's there. And he started to move over to the right, and I thought, well, maybe he's going to allow me to pass. But he didn't. He pulled right in front of me again, and they did the slow down and speed up and things like that. And I thought it was really kind of weird. We got close to Remus, and he wouldn't allow me to pass. And, of course, there's not a good passing zone in there. And we got into town, and all of a sudden, he pulls over to the right. And Denise said, you better be careful. So I slowed way down, his door opened, and he welcomed me to Remus with, you know, the one-finger salute, like, welcome to Remus. Anyway, I was like, wow. Denise and I discussed it. We're like, what in the world's going on? What did I do wrong? And all we did was try to follow. And anyway, so a couple weeks later, and this is kind of interesting that it happened a couple weeks later, but we get in the same situation, we pull up, and a newer truck comes up. And I know sometimes people talk about doing Sunday driving and lollygagging, and, you know, and things, and daydreaming. And so anyway, so I decided I'd try to pass him because he was going like 40 mile an hour. I decided, and he wouldn't let me pass. He pulled in front of me. Same kind of thing. And so I got to a place where I could finally pass him, and I want you to know he greeted me with a one-finger salute, the same as that guy did 2 weeks earlier. Well, this was a newer pickup truck. I thought maybe it was the son of the guy that drove earlier, greeted me earlier. But yeah, I want you to know what my response was. It talks about what we sow, the Spirit. God has worked on me and prepared me so that when those kind of things happen, when those situations, and I want you to know, I was not creating trouble, which sometimes happens. Well, I wasn't doing that. My response was to pray for that person. You know, the first guy, I thought, you know, maybe something happened. Maybe he lost a spouse or something happened in his life. And so we are to sow the seeds of righteousness. God's plan is that's what we sow. The results will be positive and rewarding as crops of love. That's what Hosea tells us about. And that's what here Galatians speaks of about. God wants us to sow seeds of love and seeds of righteousness. And I want you to know, if you look at this, there's no expiration date. It doesn't say that when you get to a certain age or a particular time in your life that you can stop sowing seeds of righteousness. It doesn't say that. It is something that needs to be a part of our lives. We cannot harvest what we do not sow. This is a farming community. We talked about that a little bit this morning with one of the guys. And Denise and I live in Fremont, a very much farming community. There's some serious crop planting that goes on. And when the corn is planted, corn is expected to be planted and harvest. When people have apple trees, and we have a lot of apples around us and fruit, it's expected that apples are being produced. We cannot harvest what is not planted. If we do not plant righteousness with other people, we cannot expect God's love to be a blessing in our lives. And that's what the writers are saying here. And so our lives need to be submitted to living a life that pleases God, to knowing God, to submitting to God, to reading His Word and listening to God, and through prayer and allow the planting of righteousness to take place. And that is to be done in our church and in our lives personally, to walk with God. It starts with trusting in God and believing in Him. Matter of fact, we know that if we don't know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we cannot effectively plant the seeds of righteousness that God has for us. It's about asking Christ to forgive us and believing that He forgives us and confessing our sins and following Him. That's what God plans for us to do. You cannot harvest what you haven't planted. And you will harvest what has been planted. Planting seeds of righteousness, how exciting does that sound? It sounds like something that we can be doing what is right and good for God. We will harvest, what is planted. And Paul shares this message in Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, people who are devoted followers of Him, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you are doing, whatever we are doing, is harvesting, it's planting, it's sowing the seeds of righteousness that God calls us to. It's a good thing for us to do inventory of our lives. That's usually what takes place at this time of the year, in the closing days of 2024 and almost every year. We begin to think about what took place this last year. What were our intentions and our actions and our thoughts and our involvements and our investments? And we realize that unless we invest, unless we make a commitment to invest, we cannot expect a return. Jesus said it this way: give, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. It's planting and harvesting. And as we look at our lives from 2024, moving into 25, what do we say? What are the things that we've been planting? What are the things that we've been sowing? Have they been seeds of righteousness, which is love and peace and hope and joy and forgiveness? We know as we plant and as we receive, we know that our harvest, your harvest, my harvest, can be rewarding. The harvest of love The harvest of love cannot be bought with money. Obligations or any other type of financial exchange. Love does not come by giving of financial things. It comes about planting the seeds of righteousness. How it is so important that it's rewarding to us, that the sowing is what God wants us to do in our lives. It's the message that Jesus often told in Luke chapter 8. The J.B. Phillips New Testament translation has this message. It says, Jesus' parable of the mixed reception of giving to the truth. It says, when a large crowd had gathered and people were coming to him from one town after another, he spoke to them and gave them this parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and while he was sowing, some of the seed fell by the roadside and was trodden down, and birds gobbled it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it sprouted, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorn bushes, which grew up in the seeds with the seeds and choked the life out of them. But some seed fell on good soil and grew and produced a crop 100 times what had been sown. And when he had said this, he called out, let the man who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him use them. Jesus talked about production and planting. And you and I need to be about the planting of the seeds of righteousness. As God directs us and as God invests in our lives, we are to plant these seeds of righteousness so that others will be touched and lives will be transformed. I'm so grateful for Sunday school teachers, and I saw that there's a need for a Sunday school teacher for the D kids, the children. I'm so grateful for parents and teachers who invest in the lives of children and teenagers. I'm grateful for that, so important. I'm grateful for my parents who invested in us and spent the time talking to us and sharing it. But not only that, but living it out in an example, their daily lives. I grew up in a home. My dad was a builder, house builder, some like some other people in this community. So we built a lot of houses and did that kind of thing. And when I was a teenager, my dad felt compelled to plant a church. We were building houses. We weren't planting churches. Our family had purchased a bunch of property in the city limits of Lowell, and we were going to be building houses, and it was supposed to be toward my parents as they retired, and they would build houses and sell them and things like that. What ended up is the house that was built there became the parsonage for the church. And instead of that property being used for houses, a church was planted there. If you go to Lowell, you find out about Lowell Impact Church. The end results of our church plant when I was a teenager is now Lowell Impact Church. And so we were involved in that. My dad felt compelled about planting the seeds of righteousness in the sense of allowing God to speak to him. So we went out and we asked people to come because it's a message of sending or telling the good news of the gospel and living out that life. And so my dad lived it out. Even though my dad was, if you had met my dad, he was quiet and pretty reserved about those kind of things. And yet he had this passion about planting and about planting a church. And so we did that. We sowed the seeds of righteousness in that particular community, and it made an impact. Of course, it made an impact on my life in the sense of our investment in others and our investment in church planting and how important that is. And as you have been a part of church planting, it is so important because there are lives that come to know Christ through those endeavors. And we need to be about that. Right now, we need to be about the message of God's peace and life and salvation, because our harvest can be replicated. It's God's intention that the harvest continue to be replicated over and over again. It's the message that God has to us, that we just don't plant once and harvest, but that we continue to plant over and over and over again. There are people in this community that need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. There are people in your community, in this Osceola, Wexford, Misaukee counties, these three counties, and we'll share about them. People need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Dighton Wesleyan Church is strategically placed to make a difference in people's lives. That's us. That's us gathered together. And it's to be replicated. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." God's message of sowing and harvesting can be replicated. It's as God's plan for us. Sometimes we've heard about, if you take an apple and you say, what's the results of an apple? And when you think about the seeds in the apple, it's not just another apple, right? If all the seeds in one apple was planted, it really becomes an orchard. If all of those have results, it's an orchard. not just one apple. And so we realize that we are to be telling and living out the good news. In this community, it is God's plan for us to share that good news. As I mentioned in that one slide that is coming up, if you take that 7-mile radius of Dighton Wesleyan Church, according to the 2020 census, there are 6,881 people. Within 7 miles of this particular church, there's 6,881 people. And when you take Osceola and Wexford and Misaki counties, and you find out, according to the 2020 census, you discover that 69.4% have no religious adherence. And so that number of people that would be associated, there are 4,810 people approximately that have no religious adherence within 7 miles of this church. 4,810 people. Listen, all 6,000 people plus matter to God. Every one of them matter to God. And if you look at the population of your three counties, there's 71,615. There's no adherence. It's 49,672 in the three counties. So no matter where you go, no matter where you're shopping or traveling or harvesting or hunting or whatever it might be, there are people that need to know Jesus Christ. And you and I are called to reach the people in this community. It is a matter of a crop check in our spiritual lives. Who are we reaching for Christ? What impact am I making? Whatsoever is true and lovely, whatever those things are in my lives, we need to live them out in our life. Several years ago, Denise and I had the opportunity to travel to Sao Paulo, Brazil. And before we went, we made connections with a church in Brazil, a sister denomination in Brazil. And we made the contacts, and we said, we want to spend time. So we spent a week, or a few days actually, and we met Matheus Coelho. And it was kind of interesting because the bishop of that particular area had this young man, probably Brad's age, around. And they said, we will assign him to Tom and Denise. So the next few days, all of his assignments was to take care of us. And like, you don't have any other responsibilities except for the bishop told him, and he responded, much different than we do here. But anyway, so Matheus took care of us and showed up in the morning and picked us up and took us around. And we had the privilege of going and visiting his church in Sarcoba. And I think there's a slide that talks about that. So these are some of the pastors that we met in Sarcoba. When we were going to Sarcoba, we asked about that, and he said, well, it's just a little town. Now, we were coming out of Sao Paulo, which has 25 million people. That's hard for me to even grasp, but there were 25 million people. And so we asked him, he said, well, it's just a little town. It only has 600,000 people. I was like, what? Anyway, so they were planting a church. The guy up in the, if you see in the left side with his face the closest, that's our friend. That's the pastor there. And so he asked us to come, and they were having a night of outreach that particular night. And so they set up a trailer, and I think there's another picture someplace in there. But anyway, they set up a trailer, and they had music and the Word of God, and they were reaching people in that community that had not been reached for Christ. Listen, it was a way that they could impact their community by harvest or by sowing and planting. There are different ways that we can sow and plant. But God calls all of us to make an investment in sowing and planting. And we can't plant or we can't harvest where we're not planted. And God's calling us in 2025 to reach people in our community to make a difference. And so we ask the question, what about the crop check? What about your life and my life? What is the harvest that's taking place? Now I asked Brad to pass out to all of you a grape. And I want you to know I have a grape in my pocket. Several years ago, I closed a worship service and I handed out grapes just like this one, like you have. And I asked the question, what about this grape? Is there anything alive about this grape? It's a fake grape. If you plant this in the ground, what will you get? You'll get this same kind of grape, right? Fake grape. Has no ability to reproduce. Spiritually, sometimes we act just like that. Sometimes we act and live out our life similar to a fake grape. We might call ourselves Christ followers. We might call ourselves as devoted followers and attend church all the time, but our life evidence is much like a fake grape that doesn't produce. And God doesn't call us to be fake grapes. God calls us to be fruit of righteousness, fruit that is planted, that has a harvest, reproduces. So I carry a grape in my pocket. And there's been times where I've had a grape in a coin purse or something like that, coin thing, and I pulled out and I've had more than one and it rolls out. One time I was at a McDonald's and a fake grape rolled out. And the person looked at me like, what is that? And I said, this is to remind me that I am a child of Jesus Christ and that I live for Christ and that I need to tell others about the life that can come through Christ. And so I carry a fake grape reminding me that I am to be a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am to plant the seed of righteousness. Because when the seed of righteousness is planted, the results are a crop of love. You and I has nothing really to do with a fake grape in that sense. Has everything to do about our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can carry a grape in our pocket or our purse and not mean anything. We can carry the message of Christ in our life and it does make a difference for eternity. God is calling us to a life of planting the seeds of righteousness. In 2025, let us be real for God. Let us not have anything fake about our relationship with God, but let His seeds of righteousness be evident in us. Father, as the worship team comes and sings and closes in song, we are here to realize, God, that we are planting the seeds of righteousness so that, God, lives would be transformed. The 4,800 people that live within 7 miles of this dot on earth need to hear the good news of the gospel. And God, I pray that we, as people of Jesus Christ, devoted followers of Christ, that God, our lives will be lives of planting, sowing, and harvesting for the kingdom of eternity. That is why we are here, to reach the people and to help them grow in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.